Making America Smart Again. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger. Are you tired of your boss stealing from your paycheck to send to a government that's writing checks its body can't cash? It's the government's worst nightmare. Dave Krieger.
Well, it's a good Wednesday morning to you. It's our hump day edition here in the Krieger Files. And, of course, Alex Jones always makes the news. And every time I mention InfoWars and Alex Jones, everybody goes, what? You know, they're wondering what the heck is going on with InfoWars. For those of you that want to search Dave Krieger on Alex Jones InfoWars, I will pop up and you can watch the stuff I talk about because it has everything to do with the foreclosure crisis that went down in 2009-10 all the way through 2016, and now it's happening again. So I'm going to cover what happened and what's going on with the Sandy Hook debacle, and then I'm going to talk about the foreclosure crisis because it is ramping up. There are videos out now that talk all about it, and I'm going to cover some of those things. And, of course, Robert Stanley joins us at the bottom of the hour to continue our conversation about China and what's going on in the underworld. Going to be some interesting conversation this morning. The families of Sandy Hook, here's the thing. You've heard the old saying that you can't squeeze blood out of a stone, right? You're only going to get so much money out of Alex Jones. You're going to get so much money out of his network. I have been to the plant in Austin, Texas, and I've seen it. I've been there. I've taped there in multiple rooms. I've seen his social media room that he has all these people sitting around in blasting stuff into social media, which, I mean, I learned a lot from his business model. You want to know why he is well off despite the fact they're coming after him? Because he's a smart businessman. And I mean, I wish we could all be like that. You know, we could all be like Trump because Trump knows how to play the bankruptcy system. Most people don't. But if you're rich, you know how to play it. So anyway, I mean, Alex Jones is a millionaire before he started this. But see, the mistake was taking the conspiracy thing just a step too far because you got people upset enough to actually do something about it and start harassing the families of the Sandy Hook victims based on your comments. Well, and then all of a sudden now we're end up in this fracas. Jones declares bankruptcy in 2022 after the courts in Connecticut and Texas rule in favor of the families and their defamation claims. Most of the proceeds from the sale of his InfoWars media company along with his personal assets are being sold off. But like I said, you're only going to get so much money and then there isn't going to be any more. So now that the families in both Texas and Connecticut are aligned in their thinking. Now we get down to the business of the fact that last month, you know, they had this phony sale where The Onion was going to buy InfoWars to parody the news site for $1.75 million, talking all about gun control and everything else. And, of course, the trustee screwed up, and the judge, of course, wanted a back-and-forth auction, which would have driven up the price. And now, of course, First United American Companies, which runs Jones's online supplement store, have just now anteed up and are offering $8 million, more than double its original bid of $3.5 million. So we're going to see whether or not The Onion wants to compete with that, because here's the thing. Once you get to that point and they turn around and they say, okay, we're in agreement with that. See, you only get what you get. And, of course, then there is a, you know, some money coming out of whatever the future holdings are. But, you see, there's nothing stopping Alex Jones from starting other businesses. It's just that they will, you know, constantly be trying to reopen the bankruptcy, and good luck with that. You know, he starts a whole different campaign. I mean, they're going to follow him everywhere he goes and dog him with lawsuits, and they'll try to bleed him for every dime he's got. They're not going to shut him up. He's still going to continue to bring his listening audience items of interest, whether or not the mainstream media looks at him like some sort of conspiracy theory, not because we all know what the difference is between conspiracy theory and reality. 6 months. So you wonder about that. Now, the foreclosure situation, as long as we're talking about truism here, you remember during COVID, this is something that I just watched an 18-minute video this morning. I'm going to post that link for the YouTube video. It basically is, the video is targeted to investors. And, you know, don't think BlackRock and people like that aren't paying attention. I now have people that are looking at my Substack page that are representing servicers, you know, like Cal Western. Oh, yeah, don't think I don't get notified when people go to my Substack page and they realize, oh, I don't you think I look at the email address to see that Cal Western is there? They're one of these servicers that's supposedly defunct. But no, they're not. Now, they're still there. I mean, they're still using their email addresses. What would you think? I'll look them up in the California Secretary of State's office. But you see, the foreclosure mills and everybody else are monitoring people like me because I'm on the forefront of this thing, and I've got homeowners all over the country calling me up asking me what to do. And I'm like, look, I'm not a lawyer. I can't give you legal advice, not even on the show, but I can share education. And here's the thing. During COVID, they came up with this thing called forbearance. You remember that? And all of a sudden now, this video that I watched this morning is very, it's got a lot of merit. Talking about the triple whammy, the triple trap is what they call it. And the number one problem is that everybody bought into the garbage that they wouldn't have to make a mortgage payment if they would just grant and ask for and get a forbearance. Well, now they're finding out that their mortgage payments have doubled, if not tripled, when you add all the insurance and everything on it, and all of a sudden their equity is being eaten away because, you know, what happened during COVID? Property values went up. Their equity went up. Now, all of a sudden, property values are dropping, and they're almost equalizing with the amount of value versus what they owe in a forbearance. And the forbearance is adding tens of thousands of dollars in missed payments to the bottom line, and they owe this because the moratorium has been lifted. So now we have this wave of foreclosures that is headed into the hinterland. And I mean, areas, the big cities like Miami, Sacramento, Austin, Texas, all over the place are being affected by this. And so investors out there are looking at this going, okay, what can we do? Can we come in here and buy properties for 10% below market and then turn them into rentals? I mean, don't think BlackRock's not thinking about that. Having shell companies go out and round up these kinds of homes. We have all the shadow inventory. There's like 1.4 million homes that are sitting in the shadow inventory, and the banks have figured out, don't let them all on the market at the same time because you'll blow property values. Because all this inventory will drive the market down, and we can't have that. So we strategically have to screw America. This is what the banks are doing. And the government has given permission to do it. So the government is equally as culpable. Because they're the ones that allowed the banks to get into securitization, and you can thank Slick Willie and Congress for repealing Glass-Steagall back in 1999. Because that's what started all this garbage. At the same time that mortgage electronic registration systems started up its version 3. And so I implore you, if you or somebody you know is in financial straits right now because they took a forbearance, you need to look at your paperwork and see whether or not MERS is listed on the front page of your mortgage or deed of trust. Because if it is, I got some news for you. You aren't the borrower. And you're going, huh? You're doing a Scooby again. I know, I smell it. You know, it's one of these things because the forbearance is coming back to bite people in the butt, and the forbearance is stealing your equity. Because whatever equity you think you got in your house, it's now, because of the market shifting the way it is, because interest rates are now at 7.11%. Seriously, who's going to buy your house? And we're watching house prices drop, you know, from what they're listing them at. All of a sudden, you know, some of these houses are dropping nearly $100,000. In sale price because they want to preserve what little equity they have left after being raped through the forbearance program that, oh, it's so convenient. Here's a way you don't have to make mortgage payments. And people ran to sign these documents to avoid having to make mortgage payments during a crisis when we were all told to be locked down and stay in your house and don't go to work and shut down your business and screw the American economy. And that's exactly what they did. I'll be back to conclude this conversation after these important messages. Stay with us.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Need a document notarized even when one or more of the signers is out of state? What a faster way to close your real estate deals by getting your documents professionally notarized online at ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com. For more information and to book an appointment, visit ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com or call Aaron at 941-400-8282. A trusted Krieger Files partner. Good in all 50 states. That's 941-400-8282.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Back in the saddle on this hump day, 18 after the hour, we were talking about these foreclosure issues. It is ramping up. The banks are being very, very careful about not foreclosing on everybody. They're trying to do, and you got to wonder about these loan modifications. Everybody's trying to run in and figure out a way to save their house. And they go and they talk to these attorneys who are like, they're looking at how much money they can make. You see, during the foreclosure crisis, all these foreclosure defense attorneys sprung up out of everywhere thinking they knew all what was going on and we're the go-to source. You need me. I've heard so many attorneys out there tell homeowners, oh, yeah, throw money at me every month and we'll keep you in your house. And eventually they lose their house. Why? Because the attorneys don't know it all. There is only a handful of attorneys. In other words, I can count them on one hand that actually know what's going on in the world of finance and banking. And they understand securitization and they understand the failure of securitization. And what they understand is that if people would look at the MERS system, MERS is going to say we didn't do anything wrong. We don't know when our name is being used on these documents. No. No. And who inputs the data on the MERS system that everybody runs to when they go searching out who their investor is or whether Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie or whatever, or Bank of America or whatever the case, whoever's involved in this, they want to know. Well, see, the servicers control all of the data, and they own all the data in the MERS system. MERS owns none of it. So when you go into the MERS servicer ID search, that's what you type in your search engine, MERS servicer ID search, all the information that's put there is by design of the servicers. They put what they want you to see because they want you to go down that path. Because you'll be chasing rainbows while they're taking your house. Because people are ignorant, and so are the attorneys they want to hire. These attorneys do not know from Shinola. Notice I didn't say the whole word. The thing is that, I have been told that, my legal acumen in foreclosure is much deeper, but I'm not patting myself on the back. Why aren't these attorneys doing more research? Why aren't they doing the research I do? Why don't they understand? See, I built a team, and we're going to start holding classes online, so you don't have to travel all over the country. We want people to wake up and understand that all of this garbage with the foreclosure, the forbearance, the shadow inventory, all this is by design. They're not letting it all loose on the market because it screws with the bank's profit margin. Understand that? When they steal people's homes and they turn around and they sell. And see, you're looking at me going, what do you mean the bank stole our house? Well, get the idea that I deserve a free house because the bank defrauded me. Get that out of your head. The whole idea is you're not waging the war properly, because if you were, you would understand and research securitization and understand that in securitization, you are not the borrower. Yet the contract you sign, which is a mortgage or deed of trust, says you're the borrower, but you're not. You were lied to. You weren't the borrower. You signed a contract saying that you borrowed money, but you don't know who funded you. People like Countrywide Home Loans, Inc., they went and they shopped all of your information and created a bond with your name on it and all your credit data, and they committed identity theft and spread it all over Wall Street looking for somebody to give them money so they could give it to you. But they don't actually give it to you. Where do they give it to? they fund the loan. In other words, the money gets transferred from the REMIC trust to whoever you're buying the house from through the title company. See, the title companies are in on it. And then you have to pay for seller's title insurance. So when the loan defaults, and see, I feel sorry for Old Republic Title and people like that, companies like that that sit there and insure all this garbage, Assurant and whatnot. Because then the servicers turn around after the REMIC close, claim the borrower's in default, and they start collecting a big payday six times over. This is why I said a $500,000 mortgage will net the securitization industry $7 million. How do they do that? Well, there's, you know, what do you think they call credit default swaps? Perhaps you should go look that up. If you haven't watched Inside Job, if you haven't watched The Big Short, you seriously, or 99 Homes, you should be watching this, because all of this stuff is just little pieces to the puzzle. But when you realize in the securitization aspect that there are certain aspects of the Internal Revenue Code, they actually have to follow. And if you watch Lynn Zimoniak's The Next Housing Shock, where she's on with Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes, you will see them talking all about the servicers and the lenders, the alleged lenders, not doing their homework, not filing the paperwork when they're supposed to. And you see, that is a violation of New York trust law. So any time that you see MERS on your document, it means that your loan has been securitized. That doesn't mean you go beating up MERS. No, see, I've changed my whole mindset since I wrote the book Clouded Titles, because I have come into conflict with MERS on multiple occasions. Oh, yeah, they know who I am. Because I've written Clouded Titles, the Quiet Title War Manual. I mean, we know all about all of this garbage with MERS. There are so many conflicts in the circuits right now. We have what we call a circuit split. None of the circuits can agree what MERS is or isn't. Now, if you go to Tennessee, you're going to find out the state of Tennessee in the Ditto case ruled that MERS ain't you know what. They're not all that. They want to be all things to all people. That was actually a quote from the Supreme Court in the Western District in Knoxville, when they ruled in the Carlton J. Ditto case, and he was a pro se litigant, but he had help. So folks, you know, the thing is, pro se litigants got help from people in the know, from county attorneys, you know, from people who looked at this thing and says, hey, wait a minute, you know, does MERS have the right to be noticed if there's, you know, a sale of their property because of the taxes weren't paid? Because see, this is the first thing that happens. When you don't pay the property taxes, then the county forecloses. When you don't pay your HOA dues, the HOA forecloses. Well, see, the lenders and MERS want to be notified so that they can sit there and ramp up and run to the land records and see what's going on and see who may be logged into the MERS system, because we sure don't have access to it. Oh, no, only the MERS members who pay a big hefty fee to join the MERS system, they're the only ones with access to the system, so they know what's going on, much the same way as, I mean, how many people know about, you know, going into the Bloomberg terminal and looking stuff up? There's only a handful of people that actually know how to use the Bloomberg terminal. Now, I'm not saying a handful meaning, you know, five fingers. I'm talking about the collective, the people that actually know how to interpret what's going on here besides those on Wall Street. Oh, they know all about it. But you'll notice that certain CUSIPs appear and then disappear because they're being moved around constantly. But when you go to the MERS system and you look up your loan and it says inactive, that means that your loan is not being traded on Wall Street anymore. That's what it means. So that means whoever says that they've got the finite aspect on this thing and they're coming after you, it's the servicer behind the scenes that's doing the dirty work. And we're seeing more and more third-party junk debt pools pop up in the foreclosure world. And you're going to see this on a regular basis. I mean, this is the next wave of foreclosures. We're not just talking about all those that are suffering from forbearances and that crisis. That's a whole different crisis into itself. The bigger problem is dealing with these things, because judges, first off, in most of the courts in the United States of America, now the federal district in Western District of Missouri, a lot of them understand this. They get it. They know about securitization, as do the judges in the Southern District of New York. They understand securitization because they're right in the thick of it. But all the rest of these state judges out there don't know from Shinola. When it comes to securitization, they don't care because the bank walks into court, calls you a deadbeat. You walk in thinking you deserve a free house, that you've been screwed over by the bank. But see, the thing is there are little aspects to the equation. What your originating loan officer didn't tell you was they are a whore for Wall Street. I'm not slandering anybody. I mean, they know what they did. They made you fill out a loan application. They pulled your credit. They got all your financial, your W-2s, all your financial information, and they put it into a data set. They digitized it, uploaded it in the MERS system, got a MERS MIN number, mortgage identification number. They knew it was going to go on your document as soon as they hoard your name and all your personal identifying information out under the secondary mortgage market. And that's what they did. They hoarded it out. It's called identity theft. And so they turn around, they go in, they securitize all your paper, they turn it into a bond. I've got clients right now that have not showed up. They did not show up to the closing table, or their loan was forged. Get that? In other words, they created a bond, farmed it out on Wall Street. They're making money with it because you can make money. I told you, $500,000 loan will make you net $7 million. So they're out there whoring your information around on Wall Street making money, and you never went to the closing table. Well, what if you did? Well, you just signed a contract that collateralized your property, which in securitization wasn't collateralized in the first place. Then when all of a sudden you aren't paying the servicer their money, which you got to wonder where it's going because after 1 year the REMIC is closed. This is like you're going to take a check. And the REMIC's closed, and there's this big bank there. It says Bank of New York Mellon is trustee for some trust. And there's a big sign out in front says, this is closed forever. This facility is closed forever, but you've got your mortgage payment, and you run up there and you go, well, somebody's going to open that door and cash my check. But the sign says you got to have a membership. No, it doesn't say that. It says we're closed forever. So what are you going to do with the check? Where, if you send it to the servicer, where does that money go? See, you don't even get it. This is just a fraction of the equation. That's why we're getting into this conversation. That's why I'm sharing details. You need to know these things, folks. If you have a dilemma, you can email me through thekriegerfiles.com. Let's engage in a little dialogue, shall we? Be right back.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, back from the break. Robert Stanley joins us this morning. We have a myriad of things to talk about. When Christopher Wray, yeah, the one I said, may your hens never lay, may the rats eat your mail, may your testicles fail. I mean, this guy is a joke for an FBI director, Robert. Good morning. Oh, welcome to the show again, sir.
Yeah, the joke's on us, and it's not funny. It's really not. It's a practical joke that the Pentagon and the other people, the Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, they've been robbing us blind. This has got to stop.
Yeah, I know. And see, I mean, they're letting the banks just ride herd all over all of us. And see, we'll eventually get the word out and people will start paying attention. Of course, then they're right in the middle of this. I mean, we probably have, what did they say? 3.5 million homeowners right now that all ran to the banks and got forbearance agreements. And they're all now 850,000 of them are facing immediate foreclosure. And now this figure is going to go up because the shadow inventory, remember, is 1.4. That's how many homes are sitting there that are bank owned, that are ready to be released onto the market. But they're not going to do it all at once because right now what they're trying to do is take these forbearance issues and do short sales to where the bank recovers all their money and then some, and homeowners lose their equity. And they just, you know, basically say, well, you short sold for this price and walk away. The bank gets all their money. They're not getting hurt. The servicer gets paid because they're the ones really doing the foreclosing. And if it's a REMIC trust in the MERS system, it's already closed. So who's getting the money? The servicer. It's reimbursing itself for all the expenses it had to pay all the investors on Wall Street. That's how it works. Anyway, so besides that, we'll talk about that in future editions here, but there's so much to know. You had recently published some stuff out there about the China Syndrome 2025, and apparently, you know, Christopher Wray, when he was on his deathbed, basically talking about he's leaving the system now. He's not going to be the director of the FBI anymore. We have to worry about China. So what are we talking about here? Why the worry?
Well, I mean, according to the government, the Communist Party says everything's fine. But having lived there in Hong Kong for a few years, I still have some contacts, dear friends. They were telling me things like, hey, things are really not good. And so I started looking into it, and I was very skeptical because, you know, independent media, a lot of people sensationalize things. And also during when COVID first started, there was a lot of videos that looked, well, unbelievable. People falling dead in the streets and you're getting welded into their apartments. And so, see, in other words, we don't know what to believe coming out of China. Obviously, the official line is usually wrong, and some of the unofficial stuff could be fake too. So I was very leery about publishing anything, but I guess the final straw hit recently, and I just kind of went crazy and put out that article. We do need Evergrande, the biggest real estate company in China, went bankrupt, and why that's important is because everything basically is owned in a communist system. Everything is owned at some level by the Communist Party, and they have no idea or concept of what proper management of businesses is, other than they just want their money. They just want to keep the money flowing, and it's unsustainable. Government doesn't know how to deal in a private sector correctly. They don't understand the profit system and the cost management and all that stuff. So yeah, things have been really bad for a while, but it's absolutely hitting the fan. And I took no pleasure in publishing that article. In fact, I think I may have upset my friends that are still, you know, connected to the system, but I didn't name them, but I think I'll tell you this much. One of the guys that was a lifetime Hong Kong resident, it was very helpful to myself and my family. He told me that China was very weak and that it was just pretending to be strong. He says it's been weak since its inception for thousands of years because there's so much infighting. It's not like, you know, we have problems here in the United States, but there's nothing that unifies the different factions and regions of China other than sheer force or imperialistic kind of mentality. And it's not sustainable. Most people, it's not even on their radar, and I kind of, in a way, I mean, my wife's Chinese American. All right, just to be clear, I'm not bashing Chinese people. I love Chinese people.
No, I understand that.
Yeah. Well, for other people that don't, I just want to make it clear. This is really not fun for me to talk about this, but people have a right to know. Actually, we do need to know because China is one of our largest trading partners. Most of the manufacturing in the world has been done there up until recently, and it started to move out of there when they raised the wages of the workers in the factories. That's the dominant job work that's done there. They move people off of the land, small farms and stuff, into the cities to work in the factories for supposedly cheap labor.
What's up with Trump? Now, we're talking about China. They're saying a $955 billion trading surplus. And Trump's like, okay, well, we're going to levy a tariff on all Chinese goods. I mean, this has got to put the screws to the Chinese economy. I mean, already, if what you're saying is true and there's so much infighting and so much negative economy and news coming out of there about the negative economy, all of a sudden these tariffs get imposed and all of a sudden these goods aren't acceptable here where they're going to go somewhere else, and now they've teamed up with Russia to start BRICS. I mean, this can't be good in the overall.
No, it isn't, and that's one of the reasons that China started putting up these what they call dissident camps and rounding up people, because there have been riots based on what I saw, independent reporting. There was, in one case, there was like 50,000 people rioting because they're not making money. They can't afford to live, and there is no social safety net, as far as I know, under that communist system. So people are kind of losing their minds because, well, so here's the other thing that I hadn't heard of, but I did verify in the article from other sources, is that there's a lot of students are living homeless because they can't find work even after they graduate with a degree. My friend told me, one of my friends told me that, and he talks to these students, even though he's, he's a little older. He's good at talking to these different people from the mainland, and he said that they told him that there's at least 10 million people, young people, graduating every year with degrees, and there's not work for them. So the more wealthy ones are living at home, and then the ones whose family can't afford to have them live at home, they're homeless, jobless.
Oh,
and that's really severe. I'm sorry, what?
No, it is. It is severe, and you know, it's sad that we're hearing this, but you know, then they want to invade our country and come over here and get jobs and do whatever. You know, we're having a hard time right now just trying to keep people tuned up in the brain that, look, you don't work, you don't eat. You can't just sit here and live off of government. You're expecting government to do things that government was not designed to do. And when you protest, like Thomas Massie, you get booted off of committees. So, you know, the House Rules Committee, he's no longer on it because he's not toeing the line, and he didn't like Johnson being reelected because he thinks that this whole thing is going to play itself out in the wrong direction, and it very well could. But why are all these Chinese people putting blue tarps on their roofs? Does this have anything to do with directed energy weapons being used on their own people?
Is that in China?
That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing videos of all these people in China putting blue tarps all over their roofs. I mean, either that or we got some really interesting AI out there showing all this stuff. And like I said, I told people, look, Robert, you remember a long time ago, I said we're going to have a real problem not knowing what's real and what's fake.
Yes.
Because AI will fool us. They'll try to fool us.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Okay, but I think I sent you the link this morning because I just saw it. Allegedly, there's a photograph of a blue Volkswagen van, the old one, the original one, in the middle of all the ruins in the Palisades. And it's perfectly intact. And everything else around it is completely
burnt.
So, and it's that Lahaina blue color. So what you're telling me, I'll look into it, but it kind of makes sense that. So there's a whole underground economy, and you know they have what they call the Great Firewall of China, where supposedly they can't get internet outside of China, but they've already figured it out. You know, especially the younger people, they know how to get the VPN, I think it is.
VPN, virtual private network,
Yeah, they're using different ways of getting information. It's always been like that under totalitarian systems. That you know, the truth always has a way of leaking out. I got the
article that you sent me this morning about China planning to blow Starlink out of the sky in a Taiwan war. I want to talk about this when we come back from the break because I mean this is great.
Okay.
I mean Elon Musk thinks that he's got this. They can destroy SpaceX satellites and knock out Starlink. I mean, man, nothing is sacred these days. We'll be back with Robert Stanley after these important messages. Stay with us. Oh, this is getting good.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Need a document notarized even when one or more of the signers is out of state? What a faster way to close your real estate deals by getting your documents professionally notarized online at professionalnotaryonline.com. For more information and to book an appointment, visit professionalnotaryonline.com or call Aaron at 941-400-8282. A trusted Krieger Files partner. Good in all 50 states. That's 941-400-8282.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
And we're back for the last 12 minutes. Robert Stanley is with us. He's been to Hong Kong. He's seen all this stuff. He still communicates with people. He has a Substack page, robertstanley.substack.com. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I did live in Hong Kong for 4 years, and I was very fortunate to meet a lot of people from all over the world working there. But when I tried to apply for a visa to go into mainland, I was denied. And I stupidly didn't realize when I said I'm a journalist, I might as well. That's like that's a kiss of death. That's a kiss of death. And they were laughing at me, too, and I didn't realize it until after I left. And I told one of my friends, he goes, oh, no, you weren't supposed to tell him that.
Oh, no. Yeah, see, but Robert, that may have been a godsend, because if they found out that you were a journalist over there and you were reporting stuff, they might have arrested you and we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Well, you know, during the break, you had ran an ad for Epoch Times. I believe their offices are in Hong Kong and have been.
That's right. They are. They're so, Chinese-based.
When I was there, there was some booksellers at a bookshop. They were kidnapped. This is before the handover. Okay, the handover was supposed to not happen until whenever. But they came in early in 2019. But before that, there was some booksellers that had in Hong Kong proper that were kidnapped by the Communist Party and taken into the mainland and held incommunicado for a period of time and then released and said, you know, okay, don't do that again or next time you're not coming back. We're just, you know. So, and I was doing a radio show out of the apartment there and it was making my wife really nervous. Yeah, I was on the internet. But it was, and it was a little dicey. She was kept telling me, you know, hey, what. Do you realize that just as you're an American doesn't mean anything, that you could just be grabbed off the street?
Yeah, not over there. Yeah. You know, it's where you are that makes a difference, you know?
Anyway.
So now you really think that China, well, here's the thing. We already know that the war, because everybody is so dependent on electricity. We're talking about AI-powered disruption techniques that would mimic hunting whales to seek and destroy SpaceX satellites if a war breaks out. Now, Biden's been taking money from the Chinese Communist Party. We already know that.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been letting China pretty much run the gamut, come into the country, send, you know, 30,000 military-aged Chinese guys that, for all we know, could be hackers, professionally trained to take down our grid. We need to take this seriously, more seriously than we are, right?
Well, hopefully with the new Secretary of Defense that things are going to could pivot 180 degrees, which would be awesome. And a lot more people are going to true patriots, hopefully Christians, are going to enlist and serve the country honorably. But, okay, yes, the Chinese government obviously agreed to allow those people out to come in through the Darien Gap and up into Eagle Pass and into this America, United States, illegally for a reason. Just like they're getting shipping the fentanyl in, they obviously have their eyes on trying to take. Now this is the Communist Party, not the average Chinese person. They're good people in my opinion, but the Chinese Communist Party is like, well, any other totalitarian system. They're obsessed with power. And power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And I think they're ultimately going to fall hard, very hard.
In what way?
Well, because there's, okay, just like there's an underground economy for information as well as banking in China that goes on outside of the regulatory system of the Communist Party, there's a lot of people there that are fed up with it. And here's the thing, the ruling class, just like when there was an emperor and his court, they were always in the minority, just like the people, the modern mandarins in Washington, D.C. Those people don't represent us. They're not public servants. They're parasites. And they have to be held accountable at some point because we are the majority, and we're also in the right. I think we've talked about this before about God's law. No, they always pull this one about, oh, no one's above the law. Really? Well, then how do you explain all the crimes that have been committed by people in government? Well, the truth is no one's above God's law, and everybody has to be held accountable at some point for their activities.
Well, so now we've already discussed the fact that, you know, that you're seeing things, and this was something I pointed out on the show a couple of days ago about this issue with seeing these shells of cars in Palisades, burned out. And I said, boy, that looks an awful lot like Maui. China's already admitted that they've created sophisticated directed energy weapons. And I really feel like they had something to do with these California fires. But see, the thing is that the United States of America would have had to let them do it. Maui, they'd have to let them in there to do it because they want to collapse the economy, because they want to attack the insurance companies. Because if the insurance companies refuse to pay and the people have no place to live and they can't make their mortgage payments, then they're going to get foreclosed on. There's going to be a massive land grab. I mean, all of the stuff. I don't see any other way that this could unfold. Do you?
No. And the traitors or collaborators that work with these communists or globalists, they're all the globalists are communists in my opinion, but our Satanists actually is really more accurate. And they're all going to have to be held accountable. It's not going to be an easy task. But, I mean, thank God we have a new administration that has common sense and is patriotic and loves God. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. That's just my opinion, but I think it's accurate.
Right. Now, you were on the radio with John B. Wells here recently talking about the fallen angels on Earth. And I know we have a lot of people listening going, what do you mean? Well, you know, we already know that they're devil spirits, you know, whatever, running around on this Earth right now. And it's very plain in the book of Matthew talking about Satan like a lion devouring those who, you know, are ignorant. And that's exactly what's been happening here. But, I mean, where are we at on this? We got people talking about the Vatican opening up tombs, and people are saying Lucifer's being let out. And I'm just like, look, Lucifer's been here. I'm not sure how to handle it. What's your take on all of this?
Okay, to summarize it this way, you ever wonder why when Jesus returns that he's bringing an army of angels with him? It's to deal with the fallen angels that were imprisoned here. That's very clear in the book of Enoch. It's one of the reasons it wasn't included in the Bible. The church fathers didn't want, some of them are obviously collaborating or beholden or working for the fallen angels and their minions, the Nephilim. This world is definitely caught up in something we loosely call the war in heaven. And, I know this is going to sound weird, but the greatest trick that the fallen angels ever pulled on mankind was convincing us they don't exist or that they don't exist anymore. And when in fact they're living here, they're imprisoned here, and they cannot leave. And so they've been doing all kinds of, criminal activities here on this planet. Much like, you know, in a prison system, you have gangs that they can do, they still do criminal stuff inside the prison system. So that's my summary of it.
Now, how is it that there are people out there that can recognize some of these minions that are running around in the earth, like they look at Hillary Clinton and then they tell people, I saw her head turn into a snake. Same with Queen Elizabeth. I mean, some people just all of a sudden are making stuff up, or do they really think that these people are working for the other side?
Yeah, well, so there's an interdimensional aspect to it where that goes off into a whole other realm and that's why a lot of people dismiss this as just fantasy or paranoia. And some of it obviously is just not true, but there is, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's, like I said, historically, there's a lot of information out there, and that's what I've been collating and presenting reports, these various, I know, they're kind of ridiculously long reports about fallen angels and the corruption here on this world, and how ultimately it's leading up to the final battle, Dave. I'm sure you're familiar with Armageddon and the Valley of Megiddo and all that stuff, but most people really have dismissed that as some sort of just fantasy that John had on the Isle of Patmos.
Yeah, I mean, see, and that's the thing. I'm not looking at this in the same way, because Matthew 24 clearly says we know not the day nor the hour. The same thing at Thessalonians. Right. I mean, I spent 3 years in the ministry and studied all of this stuff, and it's like, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think the rapture is right around the corner and that everybody needs to get their head out of their keister and start paying attention to the Bible and what's going on. And there's been a little bit of resurgence in the Christian church, but yet it's lacking. We're still in the middle of apostasis or apostasia, which is the Greek word for the falling away. I mean, we already know that this is going on and that people are being deceived. I mean, they said the very elect were going to be deceived. I don't think it's all happened yet.
No, it's unfolding. And that's why we're having these conversations. And that's why freedom of speech in America is first. It's the First Amendment for a reason. We have to defend that and use it to its fullest. So thank you, Dave, for everything you do. I commend you for your courage to actually speak the truth publicly.
Yeah, I know. And it's at great risk to both of us. This is the thing. I mean, we're not in China either, so we don't have to be worried about being rounded up and put in a re-education camp. Yeah, Zero Hedge reported about the Chinese drone firm DJI is eliminating automatic no-fly zone a week before Trump's inauguration. That's something that Robert sent me an article on. You might want to go to Zero Hedge and read the article. It was posted yesterday at 9:45 a.m. In the meantime, Robert Stanley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dave.
RobertStanley.substack.com. Go subscribe. Robert needs your support as much as we do here at the Krieger Files. We will rebroadcast on satellite at 11 a.m. Central and again at 5 p.m. Central on sqrradio.com. In the meantime, stay safe, be smart, be kind to others. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.